The after party starts
right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as always, is the one and only Nate.
What's up, guys?
How is it going, my friend?
It is continue to be going. Super excited. We're about a week away from the next month that actually will have some Marvel Crisis Protocol releases, hopefully. So extremely excited to finally get my hands on everything that it seems like the rest of the world has already got their hands on, but super excited to join in the hype.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I cannot wait to get some of these new models, and I know that apparently Thanos is going to be an upcoming release here sometime in June, so...
June, or some of the first things we saw said August, but something that Schick said on his last stream kind of hinted at June, which just makes that such a devastating blow to the wallet with, what, six releases possibly now a single month?
Thanos is supposed to be like $60 too, so...
Ooh,
lots of content. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm excited. I can't wait. I need to play some game. And I know I can probably... There's a guy in town that's been like playing games left and right, and I'm just like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready, but I'm going to do it. I just got to take the plunge and wear my mask and my gloves and get a game in. So real quick, before we get too far in this rabbit hole, I just want to let y'all know that there might be some background noise. We got some stuff going on in the house today, so I apologize for that in advance. But that's the nature of having a kid that's not in school and it being a Wednesday afternoon. So first up today, Nate, what are we going to talk about? What is this episode of the After Party going to be about?
We are finishing off the core set with Spider-Man and one of his best villains in the form of Dr. Octavius.
Yes, Dr. Otto Octavius, the Dr. Octopus. So I'm really excited to talk about these two characters because these two characters are unique amongst the core box characters. They stand out in one very particular way, and that is that they are without affiliation. And I think that that contributed to a lot of the early thoughts on these characters, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on how they have evolved over the course of the game so far. So let's just go ahead and dive right in, starting it off with Spider-Man, or Spider-Man, for those of you.
Or Spider-Man.
Or Spider-Man. Spider-Ham?
No. That's a different character.
That's totally different, right? Yeah. So we have Spider-Man Peter Parker here. And Nate, before playing, what were your thoughts on Spider-Man?
I didn't have too many thoughts other than it just seemed like he was going to be a good objective player, but not in the way that I originally... The way I originally thought of it was more about using his long move and ranged attacks together to kind of be like a hit-and-run character that might go and pick up an objective and play around that.
Interesting, yeah. For me, my initial thoughts, honestly, was that he was hot garbage. Seriously. Seriously. I mean, if anyone listened to the show back when me and Greg did Spider-Man... I was not impressed with this character. And
I remember you not being impressed with the sculpt quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't like the sculpt either, but that's not why we're here. But I really just, there was a lot just in evaluating the card before dice were ever rolled that I just felt was underwhelming on Spider-Man, and he didn't feel like Spider-Man. Like, he's one of the few characters in this game where I feel like that capturing the feel of the character didn't really, it didn't grab me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What surprised me once I finally got games in, is that he's hot garbage. Like,
all right, I'm willing to listen for a bit. Go ahead.
So,
get it out.
I've tried to play Spider-Man multiple times, and I know there's people out there listening right now that are gonna be like, oh no, Spider-Man's really good at this, Spider-Man's really good at that. And look, he might be good at thing X or Y, sure, but what he does, you can do better in affiliation with other characters. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
So his move long, okay, well, we have Black Panther now. He has better defenses with his vibranium armor stuff. Black Panther's strike has a push on it. Spider-Man's strike is just a plain old strike. And then he's got your impact webbing thing, which, okay, that's fun. Four dice, range four, maybe push somebody maybe 50% of the time. But meh, you know, like meh. Mm-hmm. Not really, you know. And then taser webs is cool. You could stun someone if this attack deals damage. And as we've seen with six dice attacks, that can be pretty good. And situationally, that's really good, but it's just kind of, I don't know, I just never really felt like
it's, it's not a big attack. Whenever we have a four threat character and we go through all of their attacks, that last attack is usually a big heavy hitter, where on some four threat characters, like a six dice attack for two power is kind of like that second attack they would have.
Right, and the fact that it's two power is nice because it's cheap. And you can reliably get that with your impact webbing or your strike. But again, I go back to, there are so many other characters in the game now, especially, and this, I guess, is a question we'll do later, but that do what he does better. And when the core set first came out with a character like MODOK and Hulk that came out, I mean, I just didn't have a need for what he did, what he does. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And then his web line, his web appult, all that stuff is just kind of meh. It's just kind of meh. Like, web line, push an enemy character toward this character, like, that's all well and good. But at the same, like, I don't know. It's just, I haven't been able to get him to work particularly well. And he is way squishy, I feel.
Yes.
Like. He feels so squishy. Even with his reroll.
I will agree with that.
Like, Spider Sense is a really, in theory, good ability, where he rolls three at dice and he gets to re-roll two of them. But it just never seems to work out like that on the table.
Yeah, and we can go ahead and say, for sure, Spider Sense is a fantastic ability. Being able to re-roll two defense or dodge dice, which is also just extremely good. Right. Is extremely valuable. It's really handy to have, but the only three dice in the first place kind of makes it, it doesn't have as much space to make this huge impact, where if maybe Black Panther or Captain America, who these guys that have fours on their defenses, could make use of that, it would be insane.
Right, exactly. So what surprised me once I got games in was that my suspicions were confirmed, and he's just kind of blah. But what about you? Because I think you probably have a different take.
Yeah, no, I, for the most part, I agree with you. I think that he is a good character on his own, in the same way that many other characters in this game are good on their own, but he's not made it into any of my rosters recently, because there are you have to keep in mind all of this affiliation stuff going on. And again, since I'm kind of an Avengers player, typically Black Panther very much so filled that role of the long move objective player, and Black Panther most of the time has ended up being more durable than what Spider-Man has for me on the table.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. More durable and does more. I mean, he just does more. He can put out more damage with Mantle. He can pounce for free almost. I mean, like, I just, yeah. And that's a good question. I'll go ahead and kind of skip ahead a little bit. But from affiliation perspective, Spider-Man fits well in Avengers. But the problem is there are so many other four-threat Avengers characters in affiliation that either do what he does or are, quote, better. I feel weird saying better, but, like, I just think that in affiliation they are better. So, you know, Vision, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, to name a few.
So as a whole, I can see why obviously Vision, Captain Marvel, Black Panther all fit in the Avengers affiliation better because they have that affiliation tag. They're able to use Avengers as a symbol. However, I don't think that there is another four-threat character that is in an affiliation that does what Spider-Man does.
I mean, what do you mean does what he does? Because what does he do that you can't at least somewhat do with somebody else? Like, I think the only thing, this is before you say anything, the only thing that he does is pull people towards him, but Venom can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taser Webs is stunning people, but again, other characters have stun effects as well. Not as easily accessible, I'll give you that, but they're still out there.
Yeah, no, they're... A lot of the things that Spider-Man does or has access to, other characters have, but none of them have it quite in the package that he has, where he is able to – the most effective place I've seen him is on Gamma Shelters going late. And Friday I have a video coming out about how I think Drax is a three-point version of Spider-Man to a degree. Because initially, Drax does not have a lot of damage output, but he has a lot of these abilities that can either throw or push other characters off of objectives. And Spider-Man has this great way to pull teams apart, similar to MODOK, where he's able to throw a size 2 character, but it's from range 3. Pretty much every other character that we have doing throws is range 2, with the exception of MODOK and Doc Ock and Ultron, but Ultron and MODOK's is only on terrain. So Spider-Man has this extra bit of reach that he has with the Webapult, that he has with the Webline, and that he then has with the Impact Webbing and Taser Webs to be this absolutely annoying piece of trash. Because he's pulling your synergies apart. Maybe it is Captain America has moved, and then Spider-Man comes in and moves somebody out of range of Captain America's bodyguard or Baron Zemo's reroll. I don't think it's as useful as it used to be, and now it could almost be the reverse of trying to pull people in close proximity to each other so that Thor can then come in and start doing strikes, throwing people into each other and all that kind of stuff. Spider-Man is a position control player piece, and I don't think we have another four-threat character that does what he does.
Yeah, I can see your point. I can see your point. I still don't particularly like using that for four-threat. I don't...
And neither do I, but neither of us are control players at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true. I guess neither of us are, but... that. So you just outlined what he does well.
And yeah, it's pretty much.
So, to me, I agree with you. That's what he does well. What he does well is some moving around. His web line, I poo on it, but it's decent. It's decent. Like, being able to...
Doing that to an enemy MODOK.
Right. Sizeless, you can just pull someone short, and it can be at range 4, so conceivably you could... keep them from getting on you. You know what I mean? So I, it's not to be dismissed in an objective-based game, but right now with the way that the heavy damage kind of thing is out there, pulling someone towards Spider-Man short is a recipe for disaster. Because like you said, you pull a Thor, you pull a MODOK, you pull someone like a Vision in that has a beam, you're asking for trouble.
You absolutely are. There's definitely situations where Spider-Man will get squashed like a bug for being this objective player.
I see what you did.
And I definitely kind of feel like he could have been a lower threat cost. I'm not sure where else you would maybe take away from him to get him to that lower threat cost. Because like if he was at 3 threat, it's just a different take on Shuri, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. If he was at 3 threat, I would 100% be on board. And it's kind of, he would be more of an inverse Shuri. I say he's hot garbage, but it's because he costs 4 threat. It's because there are just other characters I want and this is me, so again, this is my opinion, but there are just other characters that do more for my team and how I want to play at that four threat level that I want in there. So that's, if he was three threat though, he'd be a mainstay in my roster probably, because I do agree with you that his control elements are interesting, and the control elements that he brings to the table is, like I said, it's like an inverse Shuri. He does have the push on impact webbing, but it's not reliable. But the web line, especially if you're playing Avengers for one power, could be really beneficial.
Yeah. And I know we're kind of skipping around in our usual order for him, just because it's flowed naturally. But I don't think there's an affiliation that Spider-Man really benefits from yet. Usually the characters that really benefit from being in Avengers are guys with the reactive superpowers that are able to take advantage of that power reduction more than on just their turn. So Vision is a prime example. Venom is a prime example. Captain America obviously makes a fantastic Avenger. But Spider-Man's not really – he's only doing the one active superpower a turn. Cabal doesn't really feel like a great fit either, because he's not usually doing too much on the damage output side. He doesn't really have a lot of power to spare for Wakanda. He doesn't need the rerolls from Guardians. He doesn't really benefit too much from Asgard. So I'm really interested to see what this Web Warriors affiliation is going to do and see how that benefits Spider-Man and the rest of his spider friends.
Yeah, I am too, because I agree with you. I think from an affiliation perspective, Avengers is the best fit. And while I understand why they didn't put him in Avengers, because it seems like they could have put everything in Avengers, I really wanted him to be in Avengers because he has been an Avenger. But listen, okay, fine. You don't want him in Avengers, AMG. I get that. But look, when you inevitably come out with a Fantastic Four affiliation, please put Spider-Man in it, because he was part of the Future Foundation. I need that in my life. Just do it. Okay? Just, I'm telling you right now, I will still play your game, but you need to do it. Anyways, I agree that Asgard doesn't, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Wakanda doesn't make any sense. Cabal doesn't make any sense, because he's, like you said, he's, you get the extra power from attacking and doing damage. And his attacks, especially impact webbing, is probably not going to do much damage. And if he's up there in the thick of it doing his strike, he's probably going to get swatted, you know? And then you look at Guardians, and that's another one where he just, that does not fit at all.
Yep, he's already got the two rerolls on defense. Like, he doesn't need it there. So, and on the attacking side, like, again, he's not doing that too often. Maybe his taser webs would take a benefit from it, but it's not worth burning a tactic card on him.
Exactly. So, real quick, though, I will say, hopefully Thursday when this is released, Dallas is doing a stream, we might get to see the CP10, Miles, and Gwen pack. We might get to see that. So if we get to see that, then that could totally change how I feel about Spider-Man. But right now, on Wednesday, May 27th, my thoughts are still kind of meh. I'm going to start trying to play a little bit more control just to mix it up a little bit. But Shuri just is so good with control. Like, I love what she does for the control game. So it's kind of hard for me to want to go from her to Spider-Man. But that is what it is. But before we go any further, any other things on Spider-Man before we get into some questions that were submitted to us?
I do. I have the first question for you, as a matter of fact.
Ooh, I love questions.
Awesome. Usually I go in about the, is this character done better, worse, and all of that. And I think until we see the Web Warriors, I think it's going to be hard to make that evaluation on Spider-Man at this point.
Well, so no, I have no, a different question. I will say, I do think that it's still a fair question, because with everything else that's come out, what is Spider-Man now? Spider-Man's left off the table.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't seeing the table very much to begin with for me personally, but with everything else that's come out, this is I would say, the one miss that Atomic Mass Games has had is Spider-Man. And that's just me. Again, you laid it out, his uses, but I just can't. I just can't. So, anyways, go ahead with your question.
So, my question is, other than Shuri, because Spider-Man definitely has more damage potential than her, what other character do you see similarities between that's already out with Spider-Man?
Other than Shuri?
Other than Shuri.
I was not prepared for this question, Nate. Iron Man has some similarities, but...
He does.
I mean, Venom is very similar, I think, with his web snare.
Mm-hmm.
Is similar. Other than that,
I mean... They both have that throw and stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know. Who are you thinking?
The one that comes to mind for me is Loki, oddly enough.
Man, I kind of skimmed over Loki's card thinking he can't mean Loki. But I see what you could make that connection with. But go ahead and outline why you think it's good.
Yeah, so neither of these guys are high damage output. Both of them have definitely some control aspects. And for Loki to really get on that same level as Spider-Man control-wise, he has to take the Mind Gem, gets that extra bit of power, but most importantly, gets the ability to make an enemy character advance short, which is similar to what Spider-Man has with his longer-range throw and his webline abilities. And I see people taking Loki quite frequently. I don't know about you, but have you seen a decent bit of Loki?
I have. I've seen a lot of Loki. I know that Loki's very popular on the TTS game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that Loki's popularity is not so much with his mind gem control elements. It's more about the Loki bubble of making your opponent have to spend more for superpowers. I think that's mm-hmm. where people's enjoyment and utility of Loki comes in. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's definitely one of his more annoying aspects. And I just think it's really interesting because ultimately these two play kind of a similar role. They're not out there to do any big attacks. They're there to pull your opponent's teams out of line. And we see a lot more Loki simply because he has an affiliation.
Yeah, I can see that comparison, but I think we see more Loki not just because he has an affiliation, but because from a utility perspective, Loki brings something to the table that one, no other model brings in the Loki bubble, and two, that like even if you don't have the Mind Stone on him, Loki can still do enough stuff, again, with Loki bubble and everything else, that his utility can be maximized while keeping him relatively safe. You know what I mean? So I don't think that it's a one-for-one thing to say, well, the reason why we see Loki instead of Spider-Man is because of affiliation. I think it's more because Loki messes with your opponent in a way that is passive. You know, he has that passive ability where he doesn't have to do anything as long as he's positioned appropriately. The opponent has to work around him. Whereas with Spider-Man, he can do a few things on his turn, but at the end of the day, it's only on his turn that he's affecting the rest of the game, whereas Loki's affecting it on everyone's turn.
Yep.
So I just think Loki, I just don't think it's one for one at the end of the day. So does that make sense?
No, I completely agree. I obviously they feel similar roles. I just see a lot of similarities between them. And I think that Spider-Man getting an affiliation will see a major bump in his viability. But enough with my question. Let's get on to some of these viewer questions.
All right, so we have Tim Simpson with a question here. With Spider-Man's energy and mystical defense of 3, with his Spider-Sense power, do you think he will see some play as energy and mystical attacks become more prevalent in the game?
I think that the 3 at mystical and the 3 at energy defense is average. The reroll certainly help. It helps, I would say, probably get him to a very consistent 1 to 2 blocks. But at the end of the day, that's still not a lot. And when he only has 5 stamina on both sides, it's not really anything to be writing home about.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think that just because he has spider sense, it's going to mean that he should see more play. I think it's just makes him more reliable to block defense. But like I said at the beginning, it really hasn't worked out particularly well for me. And this is totally anecdotal, and I know the math on it is probably a lot stronger, but spider sense doesn't pertain to mystic defense anyway. So it only is for physical and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him necessarily being added to rosters or seeing more play just for his defensive abilities.
No, I think Captain Marvel is maybe a character that falls more into that category of, oh man, the Guardians have a lot of these energy attacks. She has a high energy defense as well as her energy absorption ability. That kind of makes her stand out more and more as we get more and more characters with these energy attacks.
Exactly. And our next question is from Jacob Collins of Xavier Protocol's fame. He says, for me, Spider-Man's trademark move is webbing up an opponent. How would you represent this within the rules and conditions we already have? And Jacob, I have to say, I think that that would be represented in a card. And I think that we have that already in a card, even though it's not Spider-Man specific.
You thinking trip up?
Trip up or sucker. Either one of those.
Okay.
To me, that is the way that Spider-Man webbing up an opponent is represented in the game. And sucker, it's easy to say because it's got Spider-Man's picture on it. But, I mean, really, the enemy loses power. I mean, that's a huge thing in this game.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's the one that's being suckered in that instance.
Well, not really. If he's forcing someone to lose power.
Well, but the... And the card art, though, right?
No, he's the one taking a picture while somebody else is... Spider-Man in trip-up. You're thinking of trip-up. In sucker, Spider-Man's... It's like he's taking a picture while somebody else is webbed up. But trip-up also, I think, is another one that kind of does that by giving the enemy the stun and stagger special conditions. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you wanted to put this as a superpower on someone's card, so like Spider-Man, or if we see, you know, Miles Morales Spider-Man, if we see them or Spider-Gwen, whatever, have an ability that webs up an opponent, I think that it would be represented with the slow condition and maybe the stagger, like some kind of slow stagger combo.
I would love so obviously the slow would represent it pretty well. Another condition I think would do well is rooting somebody.
That was my next choice.
But really what I would love to see is a status condition that Spider-Man, or maybe this is what the tactic card ends up being, where it limits a enemy character to only one move action for a round.
Yeah, that'd be
kind of
cool.
Or for their next turn or something like that.
That would be pretty fun. I like that. So next up, we have Carl Walker. These are currently my favorite characters in the game, as I'm all about the Spider-Verse, and I cannot wait to see the rest of what they bring to the game. What are your predictions on characters for Web Warriors and Spider Foes, and do you think when released, these guys will get to the top of the food chain? So you go ahead with that, and let's save Spider Foes for when we talk about Ock.
Absolutely. The one character, and I've said this since day one, that I would love to see in the game, could get an affiliation for the Thunderbolts, for the Guardians, for the Avengers, for the Web Warriors, is Flash Thompson, Agent Venom. The number one character I would love to see enter into the game. But that may not be where you were going with the question, but it needed to be thrown in there regardless. And
I mean, look, some things like our X-Men discussion, Idris.
Reset the clock.
You know, just have to be added.
Yep. I don't get, like, everybody always asks about the X-Men, but, like, there's not enough Agent Venom support out there these days.
You've got my support, Nate. We'll start the Agent Venom chant. That'll be the next Idris meme.
Yes, we'll do it. We'll be banned from the official group. And now, so ultimately, I think it really is going to depend on what tactic cards the Web Warriors are able to have that define their affiliation. I think as we have seen with the Black Order, where we don't even know what Thanos' leadership ability does yet, but just because of these really strong tactic cards, I'm seeing people who are wanting to run just the Black Dwarf, Ebony Maw, Corvus Glaive, and Proxima Midnight, just because those tactic cards are so strong. So I think it's going to really see what the leadership ability does and what those tactic cards do that make them stand out from everybody else. Regardless, I think it's going to be a really popular affiliation and a really fun affiliation because it's the Spider-Verse. It's something that people get very excited about, understandably so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that predictions on characters, I'm with you on Agent Venom, like that one needs to happen.
Yep. Another one that comes to mind is Scarlet Spider would be a cool one.
Yep, that was, you took the words right out of my mouth. That was going to be mine. For the
I should have shut up. I'm sorry.
You know what, Nate? It's okay. You just steal my thunder. It's fine. I don't mind. I'll allow it. But
cool. I'll have a follow up question to make you feel better. But
okay,
go ahead.
Great. Yeah. So for me, it would be Scarlet Spider. I would want to see him. Like Ben Reilly would be really cool. And then the other one that I'd like to see in a Web Warriors is the Superior Spider-Man, because I feel like that character brought an interesting dynamic to the Spider-Man mythos, and I'd like to see kind of how they would go about implementing that. But I would think it would be cool to have Spider-Man as the superhero name with Otto Octavius as the alter ego. I think that could be pretty cool.
That would be a really cool one to have in there. Or yeah, they're it's kind of a messed up situation with mind control and stuff. I don't know how they would do that, but it would be really cool.
It would be. And so yeah, and the next part of this question, before you get to your question, Nate, is will these guys get to the top of the food chain with an affiliation? I don't know. Just because I just am not in love with Spider-Man and what he does right now, that it's hard for me to think that he would somehow just ascend to be Captain America or Thor or whatever. Because if you want to talk about people at the top of the food chain, there you go. So It just depends on what type of game you want to play. If the affiliation brings something that complements what Spider-Man already does in that control element, then yeah, he would get a boost. But is it going to be so significant to make him be one of the best models in the game? It would have to be pretty amazing. See what I did there?
Yep.
You see what I did there?
Pretty amazing. That's what you did there. Yeah.
Or you would have to say, you know, it could be pretty spectacular.
That's where I was going to go next. Yep. I don't see it making Spider-Man in that top tier, but very possibly Miles, who I think is the natural next pick for the leadership ability, might be one of those top tier most represented, because when you see Thor, you're going to see Thor in Avengers. You're also going to see him in the Asgardians, obviously. Yeah. And so a lot of these top-tier characters are top-tier because they're needed for that affiliation stuff. Thor obviously stands out a little bit more because of his just staggering power and everything else. Yeah. But
so what's your last question? Because I think we spent enough time on Spider-Man.
We have. My question is, what character do you think is going to be able to step in both the pool of Spider-Foe and Web Warrior?
What do you mean, like a crossover character?
Yeah, who could possibly be in both of those affiliations?
Oh, man. I mean, Venom could.
Venom definitely could. I'm kind of hoping that he is. I secretly, like in my heart, I know he's not going to be, but boy, would I love it.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
Especially because it then makes the unlikely allies card that much cooler. More viable.
Yes, uneasy allies, yeah.
Uneasy allies, thank
you. So, speaking of people that have been antagonists for a long time, let's move on to arguably Spider-Man's greatest foe, Dr. Octopus.
I don't know if I would agree with greatest, but sure. He's definitely top tier.
I said arguably.
And I would argue against it.
There you go. I would probably argue for it, but I don't know. So before playing, Nate, what were your thoughts on old Otto?
I was not a fan. All in all, I did not like his strike. I thought his laser beam was cool, but it cost too much power for him to use it regularly. Just as a whole, not a huge fan for Doc Ock from the core set.
Yeah, I had similar thoughts. I was kind of like, oh, you know, okay, like he's fine, but okay, yeah, sure. That was kind of my thoughts. Like, meh. I didn't think he was hot garbage, but I also didn't think he was. Like, he was maybe warm garbage, lukewarm, like it's just been left out in the sun for just slightly too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe that. But really informed my opinion of Dr. Octopus early on was watching a stream that Schick, and I think he was playing Dallas. It was very early on, before the game even released, and they had this match where Dr. Octopus is trying to blast Spider-Man with his arm lasers over and over again, just whiffs the roll constantly. Like every single time he tries to do anything, the roll is just crap. And so I'm like, well, man, that arm lasers must suck. And that was before I kind of understood, like, I mean, I knew it was gonna be a dice game, don't get me wrong, but kind of like understood just how swingy the dice can be in this game. So that one stream definitely informed my decision of what I thought of Doc Ock for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But something that surprised me once I got him on the table was just how good he really is.
Well, tell us more. I guess that was obviously your first thoughts. What was it that surprised you once you got him in a couple of games?
So one is his mobility. He, with that 50 mil base moving medium with wall crawler, is very mobile. He's very mobile. And then additionally, the arm laser's attack surprised the hell out of me because it's expensive, yes, but it's range 4, rolling 6 dice, and it ignores line of sight, and the defending character does not benefit from cover. So you can literally park Doc Ock behind a building and laser people.
Kind of Rocket Raccoon-esque.
Exactly. And this is obviously way before Rocket came out, and Rocket's stuff is range 5. But, I mean, like that, to me, he's way more versatile than I gave him credit for at the beginning. And while his strike is very just okay, and flurry of arms is misleading, in my opinion, like, I think it's cool, but you're only rolling 4 dice for each wild. You get to count as 2 successes, but you're really only expecting to get 1 wild 50% of the time. So it's kind of, it makes you think it's going to be better than it really is, I think. But arm lasers is pretty good. But really, and also scientific hubris. His scientific hubris ability, like, every time he rolls a crit, he gets an extra power. You're not going to roll crits all the time, but man, does it feel good when that hits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's one of those, like, he doesn't do any one thing specifically well, but he feels, I don't know, just once I got him on the table and once I got games in with him, I started to kind of like him a lot. And I don't play him very often just because I lean more towards in-affiliation characters. And there's other 3-cost characters out there that I generally like. But I like Ock. And I think that once we find out what the Spider-Foe's affiliation is, I think he could really come into his own.
That's reasonable. I'm excited to see what he brings to the tables, especially after that affiliation hits. And like you, I was surprised at just some of the versatility he's able to bring to the table. Because that very same stream where Doc Ock could just not get his arm lasers to work, it was right after he moved up turn 1 and did a strike that absolutely spiked into Spider-Man and one-shotted him.
Right. Yep, exactly. That was the very same one.
So it's this, a very weird thing. I think strike is one of those attacks similar to Captain Marvel's Energy Blast, where if you start getting extra dice on it, it becomes that much better. It scales a lot better than most other attacks in the game because of the flurry of arms.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes looking at these cards like the 1-2 punch and stuff like that a little bit more viable for characters like that that have these scaling attacks. And obviously arm lasers, it was the first instance of Pierce that I think went underrated until we started seeing more of it in the game.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I think that he is definitely undervalued, in that his Pierce is, as we've seen, a strong ability. Is very strong. Mm-hmm. Because for a character like MODOK, for instance, who cancels out wilds, Pierce happens before he cancels the wild.
Yep. So as long, especially on an energy attack into MODOK, that becomes even more relevant because that's one of his higher defenses. But that's, Pierce is just one of the great abilities in this game that can put in all sorts of extra work.
Yep. And then another thing that I think that he does well is he has a throw. It's not the best throw. It's only size 2, so he's not going to throw, you know, a Black Dwarf or a Hulk or a Daily Bugle, but he's at least able to move characters around, the majority of characters around, and I think that that's really useful.
Mm-hmm. And it is the exact same throw that Spider-Man has.
Exactly, and that's what I was about to say. It's that range 3 throw, which is pretty decent, and like you said with Spider-Man, like I didn't necessarily talk too much about it on Spider-Man. It's a good enough throw, but on a 4-threat character, it seems lackluster versus where Doc Ock's a 3-threat character, and it kind of fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it makes sense on the 3-threat character to have such a quote weak throw.
Yep, it's only size 2. It's only short, and it makes sense that he has that kind of range 3 with his long tendrils.
Exactly. So. Mm-hmm. What does he do well for you?
One of the things that he does surprisingly well for me, and I really like about him, is his being able to constantly have energy. It's not like he's going to be a power bank like Shuri or Vision that's just constantly has energy at hand, because his arm lasers is kind of expensive. Ox clutches is a little bit expensive. But that scientific hubris is constantly getting him just a little bit of power here and there, to the point where he's never going to feel power starved.
Yeah, I'm really with you on that. It's weird how when you look at the character, you think, how is this character generating power on a 4-dice strike? Well, Flurry of Arms will trigger, again, about 50% of the time. So you're going to be gaining 1 to 3 power, realistically, on an attack. Like this kind of the loosey-goosey math there.
Yep.
And then if you hit that crit, that's another power on top of that. I mean, he's never starved for power, which is weird when you read his card.
Yep. And going back a couple of episodes, I would love to see that kind of an ability on Iron Man.
Oh,
whenever
I know.
We get another edition of him.
Uh-huh. Something like that would be really great for him. So what do you think his faults are, though?
I think his faults are mostly in his lack of consistent damage output for me.
Mm-hmm.
Having played against him quite a few times, haven't played with him as many times, but we already mentioned that his strike can spike, and man, is it always scary when Doc Ock rolls dice into you, but more times than not, it doesn't really end up doing that much. It maybe does that 1 or 2. So he doesn't really always scare me across the board.
Yeah, I think that what his faults are is that sometimes he can be hard to position.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the big base has its pros and it also has its cons.
Exactly. And if you, depending on like what kind of board you're playing on, if you're playing with a size 4 terrain that's pretty big, you know, like I play with some black site stuff and I love it. I'm never going to not play with black site stuff, but some of it can be pretty much the length of a range 4. So mm-hmm. You put him on the one side of it, hoping that someone comes on the other side, and you know, it's just kind of doesn't always work out that way. So sometimes positioning can be difficult with him. And another one of his faults is his energy defense is only 3, and energy has really seen an uptick lately.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing I forgot to mention in his what does he do well is his physical and mental defenses are 4. which
he is a sturdy boy. He only has the 5 stamina on the healthy side. He's got the 6 on the other side, though. And I don't really hold the 3 energy defense against him. He is a 3 threat character. He has to have a point of a chink in his armor.
Right, and I think that's just it, though. So you know, I guess that's not really a fault per se, but you know. So from an affiliation,
it's definitely one of his weak points.
Right. So from an affiliation perspective, though, I like him in Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it. I mean, Wakanda's decent because of the reroll with, like we talked about, how he's not really particularly power starved. So that reroll can come in handy. But I just, the Wakanda affiliation in general, to me, is not why you're running Wakanda in the first place. But.
I disagree personally. I think Wakandans are all about their rerolls and their consistency. And a character like Doc Ock would love that reroll. And under that same kind of reasoning, I almost like him in Guardians as well, because you can start using those tokens and fishing for wilds on the flurry of arms. Could be quite fun to see that spike more often than not.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Guardians are an interesting one. I don't think he fits particularly with Asgard. They already have some pretty high threat characters as it is, and they've got enough doing what they're doing. But it's funny that you say that about Wakanda. Maybe we need to have that discussion one day, because that single reroll for a single power, just for me, just doesn't do it. But that's a discussion for another time. I don't think Ock does much with Avengers, because just getting the discount on Ock's clutches is good, not great. I would rather see I think Cabal is like his number one affiliation.
Oh, for sure. At least for now.
Right, at least for now. And, yeah, what else do you have for Doc Ock before we take a couple of more questions?
Man, I don't really have too much else for Doc Ock, but I do have my usual question. From the core set release to today, do you feel like, I guess, obviously, your opinion of him has improved? You think that makes him still better than he was when he first released? Has something come out to really benefit him, or has there been a better example of what he's trying to do with the 3 threat cost point?
So I think Ock has stayed the same. So is it better, worse, stayed the same? I think he stayed the same. But I think he was misunderstood initially. So where he, like, that stays the same means that his perception, I think, got better. Does that make sense?
It does. So, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, in terms of what he does and what he brings to the table, there's not really been any releases that have buffed or debuffed that, per se. Especially, like, when you look at affiliations, like you said, Guardians would be good for him, potentially, and I can see that, but I don't necessarily think that that means that he's gotten better. So, I think he stayed the same. I think once we find out what Spider-Foes does, then he will go up that list a little bit. He will have gotten better. So, yeah, just stay the same.
That's fair.
What about you?
I think he's gone down a little bit in my book.
Really?
Mostly because any time that I have the chance to take Doc Ock or Valkyrie, I'm taking Valkyrie, regardless of affiliation, regardless of anything else. I like what Valkyrie does more.
I could see that. I mean, I love Valkyrie. I think she is an incredible character in this game. But I think that they fill a little bit different roles, but I can see it. I can see it.
Yep, they both... He's definitely a little bit more healthy than her with the defenses that he has. But her damage potential damage consistency is a lot higher than his.
Oh yeah, her damage output is nearly unrivaled for a 3 threat character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. But, yeah, so let's move on to some fan questions here. So Tim Simpson, as part of his other question, he asked this as well, but I figured we'd save it for Ock. Doc Ock seems undervalued by the community currently. Is it going to take Spider-Foe's affiliation to give him more attention, or is it something else? As more 3 threat models are released, does that decrease the desire to use him or increase his chances? In my opinion, it increases his chances, since the 3 threat options can help you define how your list plays. So let's take this one at a time. Is the spider foes going to make you want to pay more attention to Ock?
Absolutely.
100%. Honestly, like, once he has an affiliation, it makes way more sense to have him in a roster, because you're not hamstrung with trying to say, okay, well, I can put Valkyrie or Ock that's out of affiliation. What am I trying to do with this list? Okay, I need that damage, so I'm going to put Valkyrie in.
Yep.
Whereas with Spider Foes, it's like, okay, I need to keep Spider Foes affiliation, so I'm going to have, we know Green Goblin has that, has the leadership.
Throw, you got to have him and Venom.
So, right, you've got to have Green Goblin and then Doc Ock and then whoever else we get in the meantime. So it's like, yes, does the Spider Foes affiliation mean that you're going to have to pay more attention to Ock? It 100% does, and you'll see him a lot more, I think, once we get that affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
But the next part of this is, as more three-threat models are released, does it decrease the desire or increase his chances? To me, it decreases him until Spider Foes are released.
Yeah, and I think even regardless of Spider Foes, if we turn this on its head and say, hey, look at Valkyrie, as we get more three-threat characters, does she become something to look at more or less? And just inevitably, as there are more options, there's going to be less picking of a single three-point model.
That's true. And right now we've got a good collection of three-point models in the game, I think. I don't think that we are starved for three-point models that do good stuff. I mean, Zemo, Valkyrie, Ock, they all have their uses, and there's obviously more and more coming. But I think it's just, we have to decide, and you as a player, you have to decide what you want to do with your team. And you have to get games in to see who synergizes with what better. Like, we can sit here all day and say, oh yeah, you know, this character or that character synergizes with this or that. But until the dice are rolled, and rolled more than just a handful of times, we're not going to really know how these characters really want to interact with one another. So,
yep. Like, if you're looking for a generally more defensive list, maybe Doc Ock is a perfect three-threat character for you, because he's got these long-range attacks. Even his strike is range 3. He's got a throw that has some range to it, gives him some of that versatility there. And then if you start looking, well, maybe I'm more of a control-y player, then you go with Shuri, who has all the pushes, as well as giving rerolls to your team for consistency. Maybe you look at it and you're like, man, I really want some offensive options. So then you look at Valkyrie or Baron Zemo. And all of this just kind of points to great game design ultimately, because all these different three-threat characters can do similar things, but they also still fill these different roles on the table.
Yep, I completely agree. I completely agree. So one thing that we had as a response to Tim Simpson on our Facebook page, I'll go ahead and read this, is David Evans said that about Spider-Man, giving Spider-Man 2 affiliations would help him a lot. And then it says he is the fastest model in the game when you take into account terrain, especially with size 3, 4, and 5 terrain there is, because Spider-Man has wall crawler. I should have mentioned that during Spider-Man's turn, but here we are. And Doc Ock has wall crawler too, so he's pretty fast too.
Yep. And I think something that is going to help both of these characters significantly is when we see tactic cards that play around wall crawler. Currently, flight is strictly better than wall crawler because we have a fantastic team tactic card that plays around it with drop off, giving another character option of movement and an additional attack out of activation, which is really strong. So I think maybe once we see some things that the wall crawlers have, that's also going to benefit these two characters quite a bit.
I agree with you there. So the next thing we have here is Carl Walker says, what are your predictions on characters for Spider Foes? And do you think that when they are released, Doc Ock, in this case, will go to the top of the food chain? So I'm going to start this one off. My prediction for Spider Foes, I'd like to see a Carnage one day. I think that'd be really cool. This might sound stupid, but I want, like, Electro. I really think an Electro could be really cool. And a Vulture. I mean, there's so many. Spider-Man's Rogue Galleries is so good.
Spider-Man probably has the best rogue gallery in the Marvel universe, Marvel Comics, Marvel whatever.
Yeah, it's up there for sure. And there's so many good ones, but like for me, I kind of really like Electro, and I think we will get Carnage at some point, but I think like Electro and Vulture will be kind of lower on the totem pole of characters we might get, but I'd love to see them one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one I think I'd like to see, and he's more probably a Daredevil enemy, but at the same time he has crossed paths with Spider-Man, and that's Kingpin.
Yeah, Kingpin is one that I associate with Spider-Man more.
Because of the TV show.
Because of the cartoon, absolutely. Yep. But I think comic-wise, Kingpin and lawyer Matt Murdock definitely have a better rivalry there.
Yeah, what about for you? What spider foes do you think we might see?
Carnage is one that I would love to see. I'm just a big fan of the symbiote family as a whole. But the one that I would really enjoy seeing is Black Cat.
Yes, but here's the thing. Would she be a spider foe or a web warrior? Because she's towed that line.
She is my vote. I know you said Venom earlier, but you never asked me back. I think Black Cat is the one that we can see toe the line between affiliations.
I'm sorry that I did not ask you back. Now, I'm glad that you answered that
holding
question.
I'm holding it against you.
I figured. But I thought you meant in-game, okay? Gosh. Yes.
Yeah, no, I think Black Cat very likely has the potential to be this in-between character that can definitely line up with the Web Warriors, but can also team up with the Spider Foes if it suits her purposes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Black Cat would be a very exciting Spider Foe Web Warrior combo character. And I know some people probably out there have the Moreland guy, the one that like, it's like the interdimensional vampire. Have you seen that guy?
Morbius?
No, not Morbius. This is he's newer, and he's gone through different Spider-Verse dimensions, killing Peter Parker Spider-Man, and he got to the Earth 616 and ripped out his eye.
The entire like Spider-Verse. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The main inheritors, I think, is the name of the full family.
I don't know, but the character's name's Moreland. And like, I'm sure somebody out there is gonna be like, "Yeah, I want to see Moreland." I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
That would be a really. There are so many more iconic characters,
right?
Now, granted, Moreland has actually he's been a lot older than the rest of his family of interdimensional. Spider hunting family. So maybe him, and that might be a cool affiliation to see further down the line for the inheritor family, if that's what they are indeed called, and I'm not just making this stuff up on the fly. But one of the other sets that I would really like to see, well, it's not really set, it's just I think there's so much cool design space with a lot of the characters that we associate with Spider-Man. Mysterio could have some really interesting rules around him. Rhino seems pretty straightforward, but then you have a character like Chameleon and how he might try to play.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's like a Mysterio, a Morbius. Dude, give me freaking Scorpion.
Mm.
Like, I want it all. I want Sandman, the Lizard. Like, seriously. All those old villains, and another one I think would be kind of cool to see would be Kraven the Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see him fitting a similar role to Killmonger, but that'd be cool. I just think that'd be cool, and I can't wait for Green Goblin. Everyone that listens to this or House Party Protocol knows that Green Goblin that's my jam.
And Green Goblin is who I would vote for Spider-Man's biggest enemy.
Yeah, I would too. I would say arguably it was Doc Ock, but definitely Green Goblin. Anyways, we've run long.
As we tend to do.
As we tend to do. So, yeah. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. Make sure to give us a review wherever you listen, if you're able. Make sure to subscribe so you'll make sure to have these podcasts right in your podcast inbox. And Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, you can find me over on the YouTubes at the Gamers Guild. Got plenty of fun Marvel Crisis Protocol content from battle reports, reviews. Friday, I'll have my Drax and Ronin review and first impressions coming out. And then starting the week after this episode comes out, I'm going to start back a series called Tactic Talk Tuesdays, where I'm going to start doing some deep dives into different people's rosters, how they build them, what they associate with, and maybe a couple of sneaky plays that you can try pulling off on your own friends.
Oh, fun. I'm excited to see that. So for me, I am Will. I'm at HPP Will on the Discord. You can email us at houseparty protocol pod@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, House Party Protocol Podcast. Make sure to send us a message over there. We love interacting with you guys. Comment on our posts, all that good stuff. Make sure to hit us up. And we love talking to you, and we love doing this show. If there's anything you guys want us to talk about, let us know, because we'll get it in. The after party is where the fan interaction happens the most. So, yeah, hit us up. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Wade.
Wade?
Oh, sorry, Will.
Love it. Peace out.